You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 170 of Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network. I'm Jennifer Hebert.
I'm Morgan Nicole.
And this is Sophia Aguila. Welcome to Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome back, everybody. Sophia, the board meeting has wrapped up. And is there any exciting news that you can share?
Yes, the board has decided to increase our WESA buyer certificates. So instead of just doing 10 $300 certificates, we will now raffle off double that. So 20 $300 certificates. And those will be going to retailers who register early for the August WESA trade show.
Okay, so for somebody who maybe has never done that before, how does one go about doing it?
So the buyer registration is open now. So all you would have to do is register for the August WESA trade show. And if you are among the first 250 stores to register, so you have to be quick, you will automatically be entered into our early bird raffle. And of course, on top of that, you also get free food vouchers and filet vouchers if requested. So it really pays to be one of the first retailers.
Dun, dun, dun. And how do they work?
So we will mail you the certificate, and then you just have to bring it to the WESA trade show in August. And then when you order something on site, for example, one of the fringe scarves that we were talking about today, then you can use your certificate as cash of $300 off your order. So you just hand the exhibitor your certificate, and then WESA and the exhibitor will take care of the rest, and you will be saving $300 off your WESA order.
Great to hear. As usual, it's a great idea to go in and register as a buyer as early as possible. Morgan, why don't you introduce us to our guest today?
Yes, today we are joined by one of my favorite cowgirls of all time, Jody Hendrickson. This is who I want to be when I grow up. She is the founder of Fringe Scarves and a longtime leader in Western fashion and publishing. Jody, welcome.
Thank you so much, and same to you.
I am so excited to do this interview. For our listeners, Jody, like I said, is a dear friend. And every time I'm with her, I leave feeling refreshed and inspired. And I'm so grateful for her today. And I can't wait for you guys to feel refreshed and inspired. We have so much to unpack here. But Jody, why don't you just kind of give our listeners a snippet about you to start?
Well, thank you for having me on. I really, really appreciate it. I guess we'd just start back kind of where I grew up. I grew up in northwestern South Dakota on a cattle ranch. My dad was a livestock auctioneer, and we grew up rodeoing, so pretty deep agricultural roots. I went on to go to college at South Dakota State, and I college rodeoed for them. And then as soon as I graduated, I had the opportunity to go to work for Equibrand. And that's what brought me to Texas. So I currently live in Texas. I've been here for, gosh, almost 30 years. So it's been a while. And yeah, my background is really just kind of deep in the rodeo and ranching roots. So
I love it. And I think, like you said, let's start from the top. What I just love about you overall is truly your cowgirl spirit has started from such a young age, like you said, being on the cow-calf ranch, and now that cowgirl spirit going into being an entrepreneur. But tell me a little bit about South Dakota and how that get it done mindset really shaped your career path.
Yeah, I think just from a really young age, you know, just being horseback and having to help get in, you know, cattle and calving and different things like that. You know, you were just, you had to be responsible at a really young age. You know, we were all, you know, on tractors putting up hay, you know, before you're 8, 9 years old, you would just, you know, do whatever it took to help the family get a job done. But so I think just having that weight on your shoulders at a really young age and understanding what it took to get, you know, not quit. I think, you know, a lot of try. I mean, you got to get a sick bull in, you have to get it in. You know, you don't stop and just quit because he's, you know, being mean or ornery or whatever, you know, there's just that have to do mentality, I think.
Yes. And I can definitely see that now in you and in your business. Kind of looking back into those like earlier roles, even with Western Horsemen, you know, what part do you think really influenced you the most on how you're running fringe scarves today?
You know, I think, again, just having to learn things instead of waiting for other people to help you, you know, you had to, you know, I learned all the Adobe programs, so creative platforms to lay out stuff. So Illustrator, Photoshop, I was really self-taught, and that was out of a need for maybe you didn't have all the people you needed on your team. So you would just step in and learn how to navigate those programs and get things laid out like from a graphic standpoint. And at Western Horsemen, I just really worked in a lot of different capacities. I did stuff from graphic design to, I did that really as my brand. I was a brand, kind of the brand ambassador for them. So I would do that just because I needed things to get done. And then I went into sales there. And then I ended up being the publisher for their B2B titles. Wow. I also ran their book division for about 3 or 4 years. So we published books, their learning series. But I think just having all those different really broad skill sets helped me for what I'm doing today, because I use them all currently.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I didn't even think about learning those softwares and the Illustrator and all the Photoshop and all the graphic design. You're so right. Those things, honestly, you have to just kind of get in there and figure it out, like like it was back in South Dakota. But there's nothing more beautiful than, you know, getting some elbow grease in there, figuring it out, learning yourself, and then applying it to something that you're truly passionate about. And that kind of segues us into the birth of fringe scarves. So kind of tell us, you know, what took you from your early business roles to now birthing your own brand?
You know, it really came from, I ended up getting Lyme disease, and I had to quit my work and just focus on it. So for about 10 years, I had a really bad chronic case of Lyme disease and would travel out to Seattle to get treated with a doctor out there, and really just kind of lost those 10 years of my life because it was just about treatment and focusing on that. As I was getting better, I was dreaming up how I could have a career that kind of met the needs of, I knew, you know, with Lyme disease, you never, ever get cured of it when you have a chronic stage of it. So I knew that I had to, I got a gift from God really to be well again. And I wanted to stay in that place. So I knew that I had to do something where I had control over my time, that if I got tired, it was up to me and I could go lay down and come back at 8 o'clock at night, you know, so I could have my own schedule. So I was looking at something for myself and I was dreaming about, because I love to work. I love to have goals. So I was real excited to start something again. And I just decided with my fashion background and with the B2B magazine at Western Horsemen, I did all the photo shoots and styling for that. And so I really wanted to do something in the fashion side of the Western industry. And we grew up wearing wild rags on the ranch and in more of a utility kind of fashion. And I just saw a big hole in that industry. Scarves were not really a big thing. They were, you know, polka dots, paisleys. And I was really wanting to bring a whole, like an edgier, you know, more design centric kind of a, I guess, wild rag to the industry. And so 2018, I started Fringe with 6 designs. And just in a bedroom here at our house, and used my skills with, you know, Adobe and the different design platforms. And then of course I had sales background. So I kind of was able to do everything myself for the first probably 3 years of Fringe. And yeah, it was really born out of a necessity and my health. And I guess that's kind of how it all started.
Absolutely. Now remind me how long Fringe has been around at this point.
Yeah, since 2018. So we're looking at 8 years. Yeah.
Yes. And honestly, I'm sure on one hand, it feels like a quick 8 years. On another hand, a little longer. But truly, Jody, the growth that you have had and that Fringe has had is astonishing. And I applaud you for that. And
thank you.
Absolutely. I I would love to know, how are you growing and evolving and honestly scaling your business so largely, but staying close to those roots? Like, what is the secret sauce to not losing yourself, to not losing yourself, but growing something you're proud of?
You know, I honestly don't know. I mean, it really is, you know, the fast growth at the beginning is really fun. And it's probably the easiest part, because it's all about your original ideas and just, you know, the passion and the hard work. And it just seems like time flies. I think right now it's harder than ever because, you know, you all of a sudden you get, you know, we probably have 10 new scarf companies that have started up in the last 5 years after us. And so now you've got competition, and that makes it harder. And so you're having to reinvent and be the first to the punch all the time. I think, so just being innovative and trying to come up with fresh, original ideas. And I think that's one of the biggest things that we constantly try to do. And I think too, I mean, scaling right now is really hard, you know, trying to hire a team that can take on the growth. That's one of the biggest challenges we have right now with scaling, is just trying to find the right people to put in place and let them run with it. Because, you know, after you get to a certain size, you can't do it all. But we have a very, very, very small team. There's really only 3 of us that are full-time. Well, 2.5 that are full-time. And so it's that, I think that's the biggest and hardest obstacle right now is the growth through hiring.
Right. And I would love to kind of touch on the product itself. So I have been a consumer of Fringe now for at least 3 or 4 years. And the product in itself is incredible. The designs are incredible. I would love to kind of break it down for our listeners, because this is how you truly build a recognizable brand. It's not just the designs, it's the quality and everything else that, you know, plays into it. But tell us about the product itself. Let's hear, you know, the material, all the things.
Yeah. Well, we just, you know, we make sure that we buy the finest silk. We hand roll all of our hems, which is pretty unique. A lot of people use, and we started out with a machine-like hand rolled hem, and there was just some issues with quality. So you're constantly, you know, upping your game in the quality realm after you kind of know how things are working. You know, we went to a hand rolled hem, so they're all done by hand, and so that keeps them from unraveling and having issues that way. In making sure that, you know, you're on top of your game with the types of silk. We've also created two new lines last year. One's called Fringe Blue Label, which is kind of that Hermès type. I mean, I guess it would be a competitor in terms of the weight of silk. So that's a 16 millimeter. So we went to a heavier silk. We offered it in a very, very large size of 44 inches. And then our smaller version is 35 inches in that one. So, you know, we typically were a 26 and a 35 for our sizing, which was really a thing that we started to have. Cause, you know, usually when you bought a wild rag, it was a wild rag. It was one size. They didn't offer options. So that was very unique to us. And that's how we started our business with what we trademarked Shorty and Long Tall as our names for our scarves. So always trying to be unique and have that kind of edge that way. But yeah, on the quality side, I mean, it's something you have to stay on top of always watching to make sure you're getting, you know, what you're paying for. So.
Right. And am I saying this right? It's hand rolled hem, mm-hmm. like on the yeah. edges. Uh-huh. You know, I want to touch on that. Like I said, I've been wearing these silk scarves for years, and some of my scarves from the early days still look just as incredible. And I know personally, I'm taking a wild rag, not only just as a fashion accessory, but even something neutral when I'm hunting or we're mm-hmm. outside, and being able to shove them in a pocket, tie it on, throw it around, you know, it might get snagged on whatever, like they look beautiful. And
awesome.
Yes. Let's talk about some of the artwork. So I know that a lot of my favorite Fringe scarves, you know, have things from John Flaming on them. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about how you incorporate artists into the artwork.
Yeah. You know, so I would say I'd probably do at least half of all of our designs, but I do, you know, I started out doing all of them, but probably in 2000, gosh, I'm trying to think, probably about 5 or 6 years into me starting, 5 years maybe, I decided I really wanted to give back to artists, and I knew that I needed fresh material. And so it was like a win-win for both sides. And so I actually had an artist, his name is Kevin Chupik, that still, we still have some of his art in our line. He's great. Okay. He was actually the first one to call me, and he wanted to do a collaboration. And so I created a what I call the artist corner. And so these are usually artists that have a museum presence or gallery presence. I also use friends that are artists. It just makes it more fun, and it brings a new, fresh, something that I can't do myself, that I can't bring to the table, I guess. So it's been a blast.
Absolutely. And I love too that you're talking about the variety of the products. So of course, now we have the scarf slides and the bandanas and the twillies and also the different sizes. Tell me about that diversity and why the diversity in your product was important to you.
You know, I think that's, you know, when I started the company, I really wanted to, you know, to set myself apart. So that's where the sizing came in, and nobody else was doing that. So creating the 26 by 26 inch and creating the 35 by 35, most wild rags were 36. I just liked that little bit shorter look. So I went an inch shorter, and I wanted them named so that they, you know, that we're different and we stand for something. So that's where the shorty and the long tall came in that we were talking about earlier. And now we have the big 44. I think setting yourself apart, being unique, people are going to follow you. They're going to, you know, use those same sizing later. But I mean, as long as you, you know, it's an original idea and you're trying to kind of pave the way, I think that's super important in our industry.
No doubt. And I like that you mentioned, you know, you can be the first to do it. Now, you know, Pepsi will never be Coke, but they may try. And I love that French has remained true to its roots and true to the roots of you. I'll kind of describe for those listening, when you not only look, but put on a French scarf or a twilly or whatever it might be, this is Western luxury. Like Jody said, it's functional, but it's fashionable. Some of these twillies, how would you describe a twilly for someone who can't see it, but it's like listening?
Yeah. So the twilly, they're 2.5 inches by 45 inches long. That's how, you know, we created the twilly, and it's just, so it's a long little strip, and I'm actually wearing one right now, but they're just nice because if you don't want a lot of bulk, but you still want that fashion accessory on your neck, it's just a lot thinner little piece. And we tie them in bows. We put them on our hat. We wrap them around our wrist. I've used them on my handbags all the time. It's just a really fun, small splash of color and design. So I actually probably wear them more than anything because, you know, I'm in Texas, so it's warmer here.
I was going to say the same thing. I think the twillies honestly are my go-to, and they're a great touch. I know, Jody, your fashion alone is just one of my favorites, but whether you're doing denim pearl snap and some good jeans and a belt, and you want a beautiful, bright wild rag to be the statement, great. Or if you maybe have an outfit going on that's a little more glamorous and it just needs something to be a good pairing piece, these twillies are amazing. So what do you think, Jody? What do you think's next for Fringe? Is there anything you can tease us with, or maybe even tell us about Blue Label?
Yeah, well, we do have some new stuff coming out, and gosh, I don't know if I can say yet, but we have some really kind of neat, unique sizes and different options for neckwear, I guess, coming out this next fall. And then hopefully we've got some really cool artist stuff that I can't really talk about yet either, but that will be in the Blue Label line. So,
okay. Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
And I'd love to shift into kind of some retail stuff. So how do you think Western retailers kind of need to evolve right now? I know that Fringe does wholesale and a little bit of retail, but tell us, what do you think Western retailers really need to do to evolve?
You know, I think it's become such, It's a buyer's game. You know, you really have to have that unique mixture. I mean, you might have the guy 3 miles down the road or whatever that has a couple things similar to you, but it's your mixture. So you might have some fringe, but you're also carrying, you know, Tasha Palazzi or, you know what I mean? Like you have your own mixture, you're creating your environment. So when you walk in, it's an experience. Like you've got to put, you know, it's got to be like going into a museum. You've got to go in and feel this brand, you know, and it's one place that I love to go to get inspiration is Round Top. And you have all these, some of the most creative people I've ever seen ever are all in these little 10 by 10 outside booths down there, but they've got a curated, amazing experience. And so I think retailers have to, you know, make sure they're putting things together and telling a story when you walk in.
You know, Jody, that's brilliant. I never necessarily thought of that, but it's true when you sit back and pause and think about your favorite stores. And I'll tell you, Fringe, now, I mean, I can be anywhere in Texas, and I mean anywhere. It could be the middle of nowhere, podunk town with one cute little boutique. Fringe is there. I'll be in Wyoming. Fringe is there. But when I think about, okay, what are my favorite retailers and, you know, who are they? And when you walk in, it's exactly what you described. And there's Fringe. You know, you're creating something that's memorable, something that you want to be a part of. But I think you're right. A lot of people right now are missing the mark of just, honestly, I think busy work, you know, and when you really slow down to connect the dots and build the storyline, that's where a lot of people will see the growth. Yeah. That outside of the box thinking really pays off.
Yeah, it really, really does.
What do you think one of your biggest like leadership lessons has been? Something that really shaped you as a leader, or maybe you had a leader that really shaped you?
You know, I think really just staying in your own lane. It gets really messy in the, you know, on the Griffiter. I think that you just got to really keep focused, stay true to yourself, know why you did whatever you're doing from the very beginning, and stay very focused and true to that vision, because all of a sudden you're following competitors and that's one thing I just don't do. I really try not to follow or watch what's going around me. Because you have a purpose and you've just got to go and follow that all the way to the end.
That's so wise. Not only have you said that, but another really strong industry leader in fashion, different product of yours, but she has told me the same thing. And as the, you know, owner and CEO, she's like, I don't watch anybody else, Morgan. Mm-hmm. Not only do I not have time, but it will stunt your creativity. And I've thought about you, Jody, of like, wow, I mean, you really do birth something out of nothing. And I would assume that all of that creativity, honestly, all goes back to the ranch and your roots. And I think that has, you know, that really has something to show that, you know, you can keep your head down, you can stay in your own lane, but when you have something so rooted in heritage, it is, you know, it's overflowing with ideas.
Yeah. I think, you know, that being so remote and living out in the middle of nowhere as a kid, there was so much creative space. And I think the noisier things get, the less creative you can be. So mm-hmm. I try to, you know, even I live, you know, near Weatherford, Texas, and it's pretty easy to get, you know, down in the stockyards or here or there, you know, getting a lot of noise. And I think just keeping yourself kind of grounded and keeping it simple makes, you know, a lot more kind of cool stuff come out of you.
Right. And like you said, you know, the people that you surround yourself with, the fact that Fringe right now is just, you know, less than a few people on a hand. I mean, that just shows the character of your brand as well of, yep, we are sticking true. We're sticking to our guns. We're going down the right path. And sometimes you'll learn some hard lessons along the way, which I know you and I have shared, but this was so inspiring. Is there anything you'd like to end us with or any last advice maybe for someone who's wanting to start a brand in the Western space?
Yeah, I think, you know, just go after your dream and be willing, even if you're working for somebody else, be willing to be the janitor, be willing to work outside of your scope, because you're going to learn a lot. And if you're willing to take on anything, I mean, I'll still go over there and, you know, get product and put it in boxes and help ship. So I think it's just really important that you stay flexible and willing to do whatever it takes to get it done.
I love that, Jody. Never be afraid of hard work, wearing the multiple hats, and doing whatever needs to be done. What a treat this was today. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. This was awesome. Thank you.
Great interview. That makes me inspired to go into Fringe Scarves and buy me something, because I love me a good scarf. And you will find links from today's episode and show notes at wisdombywessa.com. And be sure that you can get every single episode delivered directly to your phone by subscribing. Go to your favorite podcast player, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc. Just click the subscribe button.
New Wisdom by Wessa and Retail Roundup episodes drop every Thursday, so you can hang out with us every single week.
There you go. Shaping the equine industry. That's the Wessa Podcast. See you next time.